you're stuck with me for 30 minutes. So today, we're going to keep talking about the Midwest. We have a concentration on Midwest presentations at this session, but the study that I have today is about the impact of basal leaf removal on fruit quality for Marquette, Frontenac, La Crescent, and Briana Gold Hardy wine grapes cultivars grown in cold climate regions. So there's several challenges for growing grapes in cold climate regions. One of them, obviously, is the low winter temperatures. We also have a high incidence of late spring frost. And maybe the most important related with fruit quality is the relatively short growing season. And one of the things that we struggle, especially in the Midwest with these short seasons, is to be able to get high-quality grapes to make wine, which is, in the industry, at least in Wisconsin, is mostly focused on growing grapes for wine production. So intrinsically, some of these cold hardy varieties, and Christelle Godeau was talking about these hybrids that have been were developed, most of them started with Elmer Swenson in the 1970s at the University of Minnesota, and now the University of Minnesota has a big breeding program, and they've released a lot of these varieties, which are hybrids between Vitis vinifera and Labrusca riparia, and multiple, that's why we call them interspecific cold hardy varieties. So the problem that we have with these varieties is that we don't achieve high quality of the fruit to be able to produce good wines. So the objective that we had for this trial was to evaluate the effect of basal leaf removal on fruit quality of cold hardy and specific hybrids, and we're interested in looking at fructose and glucose accumulation during the ripening process, and also malic and tartaric acid degradation. The experimental design, we had own-rooted Marquette, Frontenac, La Crescent, and Briana varieties. They were planted in 2008, and the rows were oriented north-south. We had a randomized complete block with four blocks and four vines per panel in each one of those blocks. And the vines were trained in a vertical shed positioning, and this was in southern Wisconsin. This is how the treatment looks. And from now on, I'm going to refer to the treatment that you see on the right. I'm going to call them exposed. So basically, the fruit is exposed, while the treatment that you have on the left is the shaded. So what we did here was about 2 weeks after fruit set, we went in there and we removed, for each one of those shoots, we removed about 2 to 3 leaves around the cluster area. And the shaded treatment, we didn't remove any leaves. For both of them, we keep hedging during the growing season. These varieties are extremely vigorous, and we really struggle with trying to control vigor in these varieties, especially when we have very fertile soils, as is the case in southern Wisconsin. All the rest of the treatments were the same for both. One of the things that we were monitoring was berry temperature, so we inserted these microthermocouples to monitor during the growing season the temperature of the berries and the difference between the treatment. We inserted them around Verizon time, and we keep them. You can see here in the picture that actually it's sort of healed around the insertion of the wire, so we didn't have any rotting of the fruit, so we keep them. And we had two clusters in each one of these treatments, one that it was on the east side of the vineyard, and then the other one was looking at the west side. So we would have the morning sunlight and the afternoon sunlight. So here is how it looked, the temperature of the berries. And you can see on the very top is the second week of July. And you can see there's a big difference. The circles, the white circles, are the exposed treatment. And then the shaded one, it's the black circles, the solid circles. And you can see that there's a difference in temperature during the morning. This is because this was the lager that was on the east side, that was facing the east side, so the morning light. But it actually looks very similar during the afternoon, even though the temperature difference were not that striking during the afternoon because we had a lot of wind picking up. And so that really changing the temperature was not so as striking as the difference that we have here. Sometimes we had over 10 or 12 degrees Celsius of difference in berry temperature. Then you have the graph on the left, on the bottom left. It's during Verizon time, and then the third week of August, you have the other graph, and you can see how the difference in berry temperature is consistent during the growing season. And here you can see the average berry temperature in July, August, and here are all the different thermocouples that we had. And so the circles show the east exposed, the white ones, and the solid black circles is the east shaded, while the triangles are the west exposed, the white ones and the black ones are the west shaded. So you can see that the difference here is not as much as you can see the difference up here, and we think that most of it is due to wind temperature. Then the second thing that we monitored just to characterize the two different treatments was the incidence of light, and so we measure the photosynthetic active radiation. And so we had these sensors, and we had three all over the vineyard in three of the four blocks. We had them on Frontenac, only one variety. And we install them as soon as we apply the treatments. We had these bars there, and we measured during the entire growing season. And what you can see here, you have on the y-axis is in micromoles per square meters per second, and then the hours of the day from midnight to midnight. Whoops. And then in terms of photosynthetic active radiation, you can see the same thing in the morning. It seems to be a much important difference. There were sunny mornings, and in general in the afternoon it gets a little bit more cloudy and it's more windy, and so you don't see much of the difference. But still, the sensors that were on the east side show a significant difference. And so then what we decided to do is fruit quality samples. We started around Verizon. So this study was in 2015 and 2016, and Verizon was at the end of July. For 2015, at the first week of August in 2016. And we did weekly sampling to look at fruit quality. We collected around 10 clusters per rep, and on each one of those clusters between three to six berries, depending on the variety. And then here, where you can see white and red are the varieties. We had two white varieties and two red varieties. And in 2015, we collected six fruit samples for the white varieties and 9 to 10 for the red varieties. And in 2016, which was actually a shorter season because we had a very, very rainy fall and we had to harvest earlier than what we wanted, also was much warmer. We only had between 4 to 6 for the whites and 6 sample dates of fruit for the red cultivars, and only 4 for Frontenac. It's one of those varieties that was really affected by the heavy rainfall during the fall and started decaying, so we harvested earlier than what we wanted. Here you can see 4 graphs, and I have organic acids. So on the very top, on the left top graph is Frontenac, and then on the bottom graph is Marquette. Those are the two red varieties that we have and the most important varieties grown in Wisconsin for red wine production. And you can see in 2015, we saw a significant difference for malic acid between the shaded and exposed treatments, and we also saw a significant difference for the tartaric. We did the analysis. We only took the last 4 fruit sampling. There was a lot of noise in the data, so it's a repeated measure analysis, but only takes into account the last 4 sampling dates. And we can see in 2016 for Frontenac, different from 2015, it was a shorter season, as I said. We only saw a significant difference in the malic acid. For Marquette, we didn't see any significant difference either for malic or tartaric acid on the treatments for 2015. And in 2016, we only saw some significant difference for the malic acid and not for the tartaric. In terms of the white varieties for acid, organic acids, we see that Brianna in 2015 had a significant difference between the treatment in the only for malic acid, and then the same in 2016. And for La Crescent, we only saw a significant difference in 2016 in the concentration of malic acid, but not tartaric. So in most of the white varieties, we didn't see much significance for tartaric. It was mostly driven by the degradation of malic. In terms of sugar, we don't have all of the data. We're missing some of the data for Marquette for 2015. We're still working on it. You can see the sugar accumulation here on the top two graphs are Frontenac, and the one in the bottom is Variety Marquette. You can see there is a significant difference on the treatments for both glucose and fructose, and then glucose is the triangles and fructose are the circles. There's a little bit of noise in the data, but we can still detect some significant difference. There tends to be a little bit higher concentration in the exposed treatment, which are the white symbols compared to the shaded. We did not see that in 2016, and in 2016 we had less sampling because, as I say, we had to harvest earlier. The fruit was decaying because of so much rain. And we don't see any significant difference for Marquette, at least for 2016, for the sugars. In terms of the white, we can see there's a significant difference for Brianna. And what's interesting here in Brianna is that we tend to see a higher concentration of fructose than glucose, which is the opposite on other cultivars. And we think that this is mostly due to the background of Labrusca. But we saw a significant difference for the fructose and more and higher concentration in the exposed treatment versus the shade. That was not the case in 2016, and we did not see any significance for La Crescent in 2016. I'm missing that 2015, we're still analyzing some of that data. So, on summary, basal leaf removal treatment significantly increased the solar irradiation and the berry temperature in the fruit zone. Basal leaf removal treatment significantly reduced the acid concentration at harvest in almost all cultivars, though it was not consistent every year. Malic acid concentrations were reduced at higher rates than those of tartaric acid for the red grape cultivars. And in terms of glucose or fructose, we did not see as a significant influence of the treatments as we saw on the degradation of organic acids, which for us is very significant because the main problem that we have in Wisconsin is that we have problems with reducing the acidity, and that, of course, impacts the quality of the wine. We still can achieve high and good Brix levels, but not our biggest problem is very high acid concentrations. So just some acknowledgement, the UW-West Madison Agricultural Research Station, where we have the vineyards, the research vineyards, and we do all the work. Janet Hetchke, who is the superintendent, Beth Workmaster, that works in my lab and helped with this. Janet Van Soren, who also helped sampling and funding the Wisconsin Special Crop Block Grant. And with that, if I had time for questions. Yeah? Any questions? Yes. So the question is whether there's any importance or difference in the timing of the leaf removal. We've seen difference that if we do it later on, we tend to have more sunburn on the fruit. So when we do it right after fruit set, we don't want to do it at fruit set time because we think that maybe removing those leaves that they are the most photosynthetically active and producing most of the carbohydrate may influence fruit set, and we might have incomplete clusters, which might be a problem. But if we do it 2 weeks after that, it's easy enough to get into the vineyard and remove them very quickly, which is another, you know, layer of information for the growers. They really want to do as efficient as possible. It's a good time, and we also don't see any effect on sunburned, and we see right away the changes in fruit composition, which is important because if we had to harvest this fruit 2 weeks earlier, which might be the case in Wisconsin when we have really heavy rain so we can get a frost, having those differences early on might make a big impact in the quality of the fruit.
Sorry, we need to move on.